Fear not the pain. Let its weight fall back into the earth. For heavy are the mountains, heavy are the seas.
Welcome to the Well, friends. This is our Ash Wednesday edition. It will be a little bit abbreviated from what we normally do at the Well. But I'm glad that you are joining us this day when we remember our mortality. Maybe that's not so hard a thing to do these days. But I do think that knowing and remembering our death, remembering that this moment, this life is temporary, can actually help lend a lot of meaning to this time when we are together, when we are alive. So, welcome. And I'm going to begin us with a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Those are the words that are said at our Ash Wednesday services when the congregation comes forward and gathers around the altar and kneels around the very table where we share communion together and has the sign of the cross smeared upon their foreheads in ashes. And if you don't stop to consider that too deeply, it can seem like such a strange practice. I mean, at best, it can feel gratuitous or meaningless. Maybe just a yearly stop between Christmas and Easter, where we come to church on a weekday or sit down and listen to a sermon online in the middle of the week, so that we don't have to feel so guilty about not giving up chocolate or alcohol for the next 6 weeks. Or maybe even on the other side, a way for us to just feel a little more pious and holy by starting Lent in the right way and knowing we are going to keep a firm spiritual discipline headed towards Easter. And at worst, it can feel like a totally unnecessary reminder of how small and powerless we are in a world where we see pain and fear and injustice and hatred all around us. Like we're coming to the altar to be told that we are insignificant or maybe even unworthy when the world around us does a pretty good job of telling almost all of us that almost every day. We are only dust. Of course, like most things in the church, there is a much deeper meaning to be found if you're willing to open yourself up to the mystery of it all. Ash Wednesday is not just a day marking the beginning of Lent. It is a day when we remember that we are dust, that we are born of the earth, made up of bits and pieces of creation, and that we will return to dust, that one day all of us will be dead and our bodies will decay and return to become part of that earth, bits and pieces of that same creation. Remember that you are dust. And the reason we remember that we are dust is important here. And it's not because dust is the smallest, most insignificant speck of a thing that we could come up with when we created this liturgy. We remember we are dust to recall that God formed us here on purpose. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tells us that God formed humanity from the dust of the earth, the dust of the ground, it says, and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And of course, we know from scientific discovery that the idea that our bodies, that we are made of dust, is accurate. But not just any dust. Almost all of the atoms that make up the stuff, this world of ours, almost all of those atoms were formed in nuclear fusion in the cores of ancient stars. These atoms were then flung out into the universe when the stars exploded, supernova explosions. And then over time, those atoms developed into new solar systems and planets and the Earth and eventually life. So the atoms in our very bodies were once part of ancient stars that lived and died billions of years ago. We are quite literally stardust. God formed us from the dust of stars and gave us the breath of life. So we are small, but we are not insignificant. And then, of course, we also have to remember we may have been born of stardust, but we are also, like those stars, finite. Scripture reminds us over and over, as quickly as we are told that beautiful story of how we were created, that humans are not meant to live forever. It says, "To dust we shall return." We will die. Our bodies will decay back into those same elements. And this message of finitude isn't even just for our bodies. In the gospel today, Jesus reminds his followers and those that were listening that everything and everyone around them will return to dust. He says it a little differently. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal." So he puts it differently, but the message is the same. The people and things around you are just passing through. Like you and I, they are here for a time, but like you and I, they are subject to all of the pain and the hurt and the aging and the decay and even the violence that we are. And then, like you and I, they will return to dust. But the same science that teaches us that we're born of stardust also teaches us that that isn't the end. I mean, we've all seen The Lion King, right? We understand the circle of life. We get that once we die and our bodies decay, that those same atoms, those same bits of dust will become part of something or someone new in a quite literal way. But the same scripture that tells us of our humble beginnings and certain and eventual death also reminds us over and over that this new life is not just a circle. It's not just about those atoms and those elements, but eventually God will once again gather those things together into something different, something new. So the beauty of Ash Wednesday is not in the piety and the humility, and it's not in the realization that everything and everyone around us, and us included, is fleeting. The beauty of Ash Wednesday is in the reminder that the dust from which we were formed was gathered together and given life by a God who knows us and loves us. And then, in returning to that dust, we will be given new life by being gathered once again to that God. The beauty of Ash Wednesday is not in the reminder and the wonder of our births and our lives in Christ, even those things are beautiful and wonderful, or in the knowledge and mystery of our eventual deaths and hope for resurrection, even though that knowledge is a mystery and it is also hopeful and beautiful. The beauty of this holy day that marks the start of our Lenten journey is not in holding those things apart, but in seeing them together. Ash Wednesday reminds us that birth and death, sadness and triumph, pain and healing, death and resurrection are inextricably wrapped up together. I mean, the very ashes that we lovingly smudge on our foreheads are made from palms that were blessed, that were used to celebrate the triumphant arrival of Jesus Christ as he rode into Jerusalem, that we've burnt into dust and mixed with holy oil, the same oil that is used for anointing of the sick, for praying for healing, for blessing and commending the souls of those that are dying to God. And coming forward around the table to receive those ashes and get this reminder, whether you're here in person or whether you are here in spirit, that mimics what we do when we celebrate the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, we can clearly see the grief of the cross and also clearly feel the hope of eternal life. In the Eucharist, we are all equal as those of us here stretch out our hands and all ask to receive that hope in the humble form of bread and wine. And those of you joining like you online intentionally are connecting ourselves into the body of Christ, celebrating along with the church. So we are dust, and we will be once again, but we are not alone. Our reminder is everyone else's reminder too. Rich and poor, gay and straight, conservatives and liberals, haves and have-nots, those in person and those tuning in online, we're all made of the same stardust, and we will all return to the same earth, and we all share in the hope of the same resurrection. Amen.
An Echo from the Well is a podcast of St. Timothy's Episcopal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you would like to learn more, visit sttimothys.com.
A crown of life, and I will give to not afraid, be not afraid. My help is nigh, be not afraid, be not afraid. My help is nigh, be not afraid, my help is nigh, be not afraid. Faithful unto death.